Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Rainy, cold Monday in Indianapolis. So before we get into the thick of this, we're going to cover a credit review, kind of where we are in the credit cycle. We're going to talk about the impact the coronavirus is having on the economy, the prospect for economic growth, the equity market, valuations. But before we do that, the most important thing we're probably going to talk about is college basketball. And Butler is just...
a dumpster fire?
Yes, it is a dumpster fire. As you're walking by, just watching it, it's just terrible. I heard Aaron Thompson now is injured potentially.
Kamar Baldwin, so we will have zero ball handlers.
So prospects for the for March Madness, is there a favorite in your mind, Charlie?
You still got to put Baylor and Kansas up there. Those two just played last week.
That was the final we were watching, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was beautiful. you can still even look at the Big East, though. Creighton and Seton Hall are definitely contenders.
And I know Freddie just tunes in to see if Chip and Joanna Gaines are in the audience.
Joanna had full support.
I know. Okay, let's talk about credit first. So we've been in this period where we've said we really haven't recognized a change in the credit cycle. And the hard thing about what we do for a living is that it's often difficult to see the changes when you're actually in them. So when we take a step back, and the coronavirus may be what is revealing a lot of the credit deterioration that's taking place, is it's actually stunning to see the general increase in leverage on corporate balance sheet, and then the shift in some of these business models, the impact that it's having. So we're going to walk through a few of these and then translate that into an investment strategy. But so we're looking at, the coronavirus is not necessarily the problem here, but it's revealing the underlying problems in credit. So let's start with leisure and travel, because that's the obvious one. But when you look at what's happening with Caribbean Cruise and Royal Cruise, they're having to cancel cruise ships. Now, I think Caribbean Cruise is a single A rated credit. So in and of itself, not a credit problem, but you take the layered effect of that through the airline industry, through the hotel, the hospitality, the restaurant industry, and there is a negative effect that is having. It's not having a positive increase. It's marginally a negative. And so that's impacting tourism. It's impacting Chinese tourism around the globe. So Chinese citizens are not allowed to leave the country. So that impacts the U.S., Japan, Europe. So and these are not in the numbers yet. That's the challenge, is that the market, the question we have to ask is the market adjusting to the downside expectation for what the economy and corporations are going to do based on that impact. The other part of this is the energy space, right? So we saw oil is down 15% from the opening year. From the beginning of the year. So a 15% decline in oil has a severe impact on credits, particularly in the domestic shale industry. A lot of these are levered companies. So we're already seeing challenges in companies like Antero Resources, EQT, and Chesapeake. We saw Range Resources, which is a single B credit, issued debt in January, 10-year debt, which they used to take out their 21 and 22. So they're terming out their debt. So a little balance sheet management. Net did not add leverage, but they suspended their dividend. So we actually applaud that from a credit standpoint, even though the bonds are trading down at, 80?
It was pretty good timing on that.
Yeah. So we're seeing some companies take measures really to shore up their balance sheet and maintain financial flexibility, and that's something to look at. But the energy space is going to be a real challenge, especially if oil stays down low, and with the demand out of China for oil is lower because the economy is just low. So the question then becomes how long the coronavirus has an impact on the overall economy and what that looks like. Retail, we won't dwell on it, but the the demise of the shopping mall is irrespective of what's going on with the spread of the virus. It's just been a challenge. And we saw Macy's was downgraded last week into the double B camp. So it joins Bed Bath & Beyond, L Brands, and other entities that are moving into high yield. So far this year, we've had 6 credits move from investment grade down into that double B space. So 6 companies representing about $42 billion, which is almost all of last year. Last year, I think there was $52 billion of Fallen Angel credits. This year, there's 42, and we're only into February. So this is one of the reasons why we wanted to hit this as an issue, is it seems to be a trend just in credit deterioration. So let's talk about the manufacturing sector, because that hits to the heart of China. A lot of supply chain disruption. We're seeing it obviously with Boeing. The 737 MAX shutdown is impacting the credit quality of Boeing, but this is not a default issue. This is a single A credit that's going to high triple B. We expect they'll leverage up $15 billion this year just to be able to support the cash burn given the while the 737 MAX is shut down. But we expect that will be approved by June, so they'll start ramping up production here. I would bet you that they start ramping up production by April. You guys may disagree with that, but I think they'll get the spigots turned on, and they've also indicated that they've got help for their suppliers. But the supplier that we're looking at is the Spirit Aerospace, which one of those credits that got downgraded from triple B down into the double B space. Okay, Kraft Heinz. Big surprise. That was a triple B credit that missed earnings and was downgraded to double B 2 weeks ago, last week. And that represents $32 billion of credit. So what were the circumstances surrounding that, Adam? Do you have that?
Well, and you chime in as well. So just keep in mind, Warren Buffett is, what, 20% owner of the company?
Yeah.
Well, I say Warren Buffett, it's Berkshire. But essentially, what you've got here is you got a company that sells a product that's essentially a commodity. Millennial tastes are changing significantly, and so no longer are the Kraft Heinz brands safe. People aren't looking for the generic mustard and ketchup anymore. They want the organic, non-GMO, put another acronym or label on it. So they're getting hit with two things. They're getting hit with changing tastes. At the same time, you're seeing pricing pressure from retail in general. So those two combine to create negative cash flow. And really, I think the biggest reason for the downgrade was A, they weren't hitting the leverage targets that they've been told quarter after quarter they had to hit. Leverage actually ticked up because cash flow was so low. Rating agencies were just, I mean, their hands were tied. They couldn't put this off any longer.
Yeah, this is the kind of credit I like to buy because it's actually at the end of the day very stable.
Yeah,
consumer sector is going to be less cyclical than.
So we bought long bonds. They widened all the way to 290. We got them at 283. Charlie's dancing here because a week later they were already 20 tighter.
Oh, hey, did you watch the fight this weekend?
I did.
Did your guy win?
No.
This is not your weekend, is it?
How about a year? But going back to Kraft Heinz, as soon as they got downgraded into double B, they just easily became the biggest high yield issuer too, which I thought was kind of odd. Like bigger than Charter and Sprint, yeah. Both.
So if an investor was listening to this podcast and you made a recommendation, should they vote the opposite way? Based on
everything I do.
Your sports picks, yeah.
I'm pretty good with football, but basketball and fighting, yeah, definitely. Okay. Fade Charlie.
So, Freddie, let's talk about equities. How is this this coronavirus impacting what you're seeing in the equity market?
Yeah, so we had a lot of companies, Apple, P&G, Ralph Lauren. They already cautioned on their March quarters, basically slower sales and supply disruptions. Apple specifically said they couldn't meet their second quarter forecast. So we're seeing a lot of disparity in the market, and stocks are still at all-time highs, and you have gold and commodities suggesting greater fear. And if we look at past outbreaks, we do see that short-term impact. But again, with stocks at highs, we don't believe the risk of the worsening outbreak has been priced into the market. Over the weekend, you had South Korea report total infected to over 750. You had Italy report 130 cases and 3 deaths. And I think that's the reason that we're seeing the sell-off right now, pre-market. Airline stocks are down 3%. Casino stocks are down 4%. Mm-hmm. Chipmakers right. down over 5%.
And Macau's gotten hit pretty hard on the gaming side.
Yeah, pretty much everything. 800-point drop at the open. That's what we're looking at right now. And 2.5% drop at the S&P.
Why can't one of the pharma companies just come up with a virus for this next month?
So you have many of them working on it.
Did I say virus? Why can't they come up with a cure? A cure, vaccine, that's what, another V word. Sorry, it's Monday.
I mean, that's the attempt. They've been trying to for weeks now.
Yeah.
And anyone in that space is actually rising.
Is it doable?
I don't think near term. I don't think so.
All right. So the impact on the market, obviously you talked about an open that's down 800,
mm-hmm.
just another normal day. So we're seeing a pickup in volatility.
Yeah.
But this is a market that's adjusting to changes in expectations. And if you saw what was going on in Italy, this weekend, so they shut down one of the cities in Northern Italy because of a potential outbreak, and they're not prepared for it. And Italy would be one of the last places I would expect to see the coronavirus spread, right? So then that just the fear of a pandemic increases around the globe. What does that do for interest rates and the bond market now?
Yeah, so the bond market definitely selling off. You got rates down hard, 10 years at a 134, all-time low on the 10-year, and then also all-time low on the 30-year at a 1.84.
Wow.
So you're seeing spreads obviously widen with rates that low, but funny enough is our rates are outperforming to the downside global. So we were actually tightening relative to Germany, Japan. Normally we're trading 200 basis points over German debt. Right now we're about 1.7.
And they're negative on the 10-year?
They're negative on the 10-year. They're probably negative on the 30-year this morning too. I didn't check that. But yeah, rates are low.
And then credit spreads are just hanging in there, or they're tightening?
I mean, they're definitely widening.
Okay.
So the index, you know, we've been talking for a while, was below 100. We're at 110 now. But I would say, given how hard rates have come down over the last 2 weeks, you know,
right.
I'm surprised how low.
And the challenge for investors, and this is a difficult thing to get it in a 15-minute podcast, is the difference in today's market between investing in investment grade and then buying a high yield credit that 2 years ago was trading at BBB levels is to really look at the relative value now in that single B space when you're just basically getting 150 over, barely can get 200 over on a low interest rate environment. The 3% that you're earning on a double B credit is not worth, you're looking at it saying, why am I even bothering? But and you have to be careful, because if you think I'm gonna just go buy that passive index, I'll just buy that ETF, the ETF is a construct of all of these other things, so you're buying it anyway. And the challenge is when the market does adjust and starts to normalize, and it will eventually, we'll get back to some normalization, and it may be the second half of the year, it's going to be a painful move for investors to go through that retrench and that adjustment back to normality, because rates would have to move higher, spreads would normalize, and so it's going to be difficult. Okay, Charlie, what do you got?
I actually think that I have a little comment on spreads. I actually am also surprised that they haven't widened more. And I think maybe a lot of that has to do with the fact that yields are so low that even though we're getting a risk-off sentiment with treasuries, that investors are just unwilling to part with the yields that they already have,
mm-hmm.
expecting that if, when they want to go back into credit, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
So. I'm a little surprised, but I guess it kind of makes sense, and not a really great time to really invest in high yield, because I don't think it's those double Bs, not worth it. I would much rather go up to triple Bs. The only thing is you're seeing triple Cs actually being pretty resilient, and I think that might go back to the fact that investors are just unwilling to give up the lead. They're actually, or the yield, triple Cs are actually the outperformer so far year to date in high yield. But with our recommendation, we're still staying risk off here. In our models, we've moved from the short duration high yield fund, ticker SHYG, to the short duration investment grade fund, which is ticker SPSB. Yeah. And that's where I'm comfortable right here.
Yeah. And so the paradox of really what we're talking about today is that we're seeing credit deterioration. We're seeing a massive shift in this morning's open in relative value in the equity market and a move in the 10-year market. So when you look at when you overlay this credit deterioration into where relative value is in today's market, you just scratch your head and say, wow, why investors are they, is it really worth the risk that we're taking given the sharp move in rates and relative value? And the answer is you got to be really, really careful here. So, and that tendency to reach for yield, and you'll see that in preferred stocks, you'll see that in leveraged vehicles like closed-end funds. They'll work for a moment in time, but it's that normalization, that readjustment is going to be real tricky. So, Adam, any closing thoughts?
I just want to highlight this past quarter, we were nominated PSN Top Gun Award for our ultra short strategy, our large cap blend, and tactical fixed income. That was for this quarter.
Yeah, so that's two quarters in a row. Freddie, good job on the large cap blend there.
Thanks.
Yep. Hey, you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you, guys.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.